The book of Job, chapter 31, Job chapter number 31, and I feel led to use this text tonight as for the thought for the hour. And the book of Job chapter number 31, and I'm going to read one verse in verse number 6 of this chapter. Job 31, and we all familiar with Job, one of the most outstanding characters of the Bible, one that feared God. The Bible says perfect, and he feared God and eschewed evil. He walked uprightly. And of course, we know the whole situation with Satan coming before God, and God brought Job up. And we know all about that in Job's trials. He lost 10 children, he lost everything he owned, except the land that he was standing on. You know, there's a picture there. He lost his substance, but he never lost his land. You ever think about that? Can I say this? His foundation was always sure. Amen. He never, you won't read in Job where he lost his land. He had a lot of land. God never took that away from him. You know, I preached he lost everything. And in substance he did. But he didn't lose his land. He didn't lose his foundation. That's mercy. Some of y'all looking at me like, I don't know about that. Well, go home and read the Bible. Read the book of Job. He never says he lost his land. Never did. So he never lost his foundation. But anyway, look at verse number 6 of the text. And we'll do our best to preach the message that God's laid on our heart. Job said, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Integrity is a good word. Speaks of a man's character. Speaks of a man's behavior. It speaks of a man's makeup. And he said that he wanted to be balanced, and that God to know his integrity. And folks, integrity is something that, I'm not preaching on integrity, but it's something that ought to be important to us. Living an honest life, integrity, having a right character, being Christ-like. I preached today in one of the nursing homes, let your light so shine before men. Why in the world would God want us to do that? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so there's a purpose for integrity. Our light's to shine, that men will see our good works and they'll know God's doing it through us. And Job's more or less asking the same thing here in verse number 6. Let me be weighed in an even balance. They wasn't being weighed or judged in an even balance. May the Lord add his blessing. This chapter is really one of the conclusions of Job's defense of himself before his critical and self-righteous friends. Now, I'm not trying to bring confusion tonight, but the Lord showed me something. I really believe the Lord showed me this. Not long ago, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. And I got to thinking about Job's friends. And I got to think about who they was. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar. Folks, you get a hold of this. These three men were part of Satan's plan against Job. They were Satan's messengers. Just think about who they were. Eliphaz. Now again, there's a possibility that it's the same Eliphaz that we find in Genesis 36, who was Esau's son, who he had with the daughter of Elon the Hittite. Now folks, we know Esau sold his birthright, lost his blessing, and went and married Gentiles, went and married heathen. Of course, the Hittites were very ungodly people. Here's a man, and again, I really believe it's the same one. You may prove me wrong. Here's a man that he didn't know God. He didn't care anything about the Lord. He didn't think anything about God. So here he comes. God didn't send him. God didn't send him to Job. Now get this. The Bible says that they heard about it. Chapter 2, they heard about Job while he's going through. Who told them? I believe Satan told them. And then we find not only that, Bildad, the Shuhite. Folks, you got to understand, his lineage goes back to Ishmael. His lineage goes back. Hey, Islam, Muslim, all that goes back to Ishmael. God didn't send him to talk to Job. And then Bildad, the Shuhite. Folks, not much is said about him, but that Shuhite, the Shuhites, they were right there at the Arabian border of Syria. They didn't know God. So here's three men that camouflaged themselves as Job's friends. The Bible said they were Job's friends, but as we know, they really wasn't Job's friends. They were messengers of Satan. And so now here they are. Satan, what did Satan do? Number one, he communicated with them. I believe he counseled with them. And then he gave them a critical spirit toward Job before they ever got there. I believe when they sat there, and they never consoled Job one time. They sat there and they stared a hole through him. Pharisees, self-righteous, messengers of Satan. They never said, Job, we're sorry. Man, you just lost 10 children. Let's pray. Let me read you something. Let me help you. They sat there and they knew he lost everything he had, and then he's sitting there in balls from top of his head to bottom of his feet. He's in misery spiritually, mentally, and physically. And they sat there for a certain amount of time, didn't say anything, and when they began to talk, not one word of encouragement ever come out of their mouth. It was judgment. It was all negative. Everything they had come out of their mouth was a negative word. Folks, you be careful around people that say they're your friends. And they never have no encouragement for you. They're never there for you. And if they are, it's your fault. It's your problem. You've done this. You've done that. And them sitting there, they weren't innocent. They weren't on business for God. They were on business for Satan. So we see here in this chapter, we have the conclusion. And folks, by the way, do you realize also if you study the book of Job and all that Job was going through, you realize Satan, he had tackled him with everything that's of the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Everything Satan tackled him with, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If I took time to begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 31, and I encourage you to do it, they're tackling him, accusing him of infidelity even. He said in verse number 1, he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? Why would he even say that? Accusing him of all kind of stuff. The devil's attacking him, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He's jumping Job with all these things. Job made a profound statement. He said, hey, let me be weighed, let me be judged, let me be seen in an even balance. We understand what a balance is. And folks, I want to use that tonight just to briefly give you a quick message on a balanced life. See, there's one thing you and I cannot do, but it does not excuse us. We cannot live a perfect life. As long as we're in this tabernacle of flesh, there is no possible way we can live perfect. But we can live blameless, and we can live balanced. And when I say we cannot live a perfect life, don't get excited in your flesh and say, well, then nobody can ever say anything about me if I get off in sin. We understand the Lord. Hey, Paul said, should I continue in sin that grace would abound? And he said, God forbid. We never give a green flag to sin. But we also know that within our flesh that we're gonna fail the Lord. Why else would God make provisions for us? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why would He write these things right unto you little children? Listen, that you sin not, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Again, John said, hey, I'm writing these things that you sin not. We are never get comfortable with sin. What a battle sin in our life until Jesus calls us home. However, we do fail and we do have to call on God about it. Amen. So perfection may be out, but balance isn't. Job never said he was perfect. He never claimed to be perfect. Guess what? When God called Job perfect in the Bible, He was talking about completion. He was mature. Amen. Right. He wasn't talking about sinless perfection. Was it Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, there's not a man on earth that sinneth not. But yet, we may not be able to be sinless, we can be balanced. We can be balanced. Keeping our lives balanced. If we're not careful, we'll lean from one side or the other. We'll begin to lean here and begin to bend over here a little bit, or it may lean over here and get too tight over here. See, Paul was writing in the book of Romans, I believe it's chapter 2, 1 and 2, about God judging unrighteousness. In chapter 1, in chapter 2, he said, hey, God's going to deal with self-righteousness too. See, one's much as wrong as the other. Self-righteousness, unrighteousness, and self-righteousness. If we're not careful, we'll lean to one side or the other, and we don't need to do that. We need to, by the grace of God, daily try to live balanced. And that's what Job said, hey, measure me, weigh me with an even balance. Y'all stacking the bricks against me. He's already guilty and condemned, and they don't even know what's going on. They don't even know what's happening. Why are they even talking? Because they're messengers of Satan. If you really don't know what's going on, don't let Satan use you. He can use you without you knowing it. He knows who thinks they know everything. He knows the ones that think they can analyze your problem, tell you exactly what you need. He knows, hey, if that's your weakness, hey, be careful with that, because the Satan could be using you. You may see something outwardly, but you don't know all what's going on. They saw Job's outward mess, but they didn't know what God was doing to use him in ministry. And so they allowed Satan to use them and blast him, and he said, look, y'all not giving me a fair trial here. He said, y'all not balancing this thing out. Automatically, Job, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, and it never was Job. But anyway, I'm talking about a balanced life. Now, let's be honest now about a balanced life. I hope you're interested. Preacher, I want my Christian life to be balanced. You understand, you can believe in living holy and still be nice. Some of y'all don't understand that, but you stand around us long enough, you'll see it. You still have great standards and still have a right spirit. That's right. Amen. Now, the struggle of a balanced life is real. Because when you have a good standard, if you're not careful, you're going to get unbalanced and think you're better than somebody else. Or if you have a high standard and somebody else don't have it, they're going to start calling you a legalist. They don't even know what that is. A legalist is somebody who says, if you don't do what I do, you're not saved. Right. Now, if we don't do what the Bible says about salvation, we're not saved. Right. And so, therefore, there's a struggle of a balanced life. Some people, they are afraid that, well, you know what, if I don't choke down on this and choke down on my family here and choke down on them there, that means they're going to run off and be wild. That's not what it means. You still got to be balanced. If you got rules, 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 and no love, 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 you're unbalanced. If you got love, 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 and no rules, you're unbalanced. Amen. Bible even says, speak truth in love. Speak truth in love. That's balance. Bible never tells us to compromise the truth in order to have love. We don't do that. Bible never tells us to compromise truth so we don't hurt nobody's feelings. The Bible never tells us to compromise truth so we can be popular. He says speak truth in love, but everybody's not going to like it. Job was concerned about an even balance in his life. And there's a struggle there. And if we're not careful with the cares of life, temptations of the devil, I mean, just everything that comes along with living on this earth, if we're not careful, we'll get tired of trying to stay balanced. What does Solomon say? A tree falls, a tree lands where it falls, in the direction it falls. Am I saying that pretty close? Y'all don't know it. That's right, Brother John. The tree falls, so shall it lie. If we're not careful, we'll lean too far in the wrong direction. That's where we're going to fall. That's where we're going to be. See, that means, and I read this, and of course I've probably said it before too, but I read this somewhere, and it said, hey, some things, listen to me now, some things you and I do not have to pray for or pray about. We just need to be disciplined in it. God's already gave us what He said. He told us, He already gave us a word. You don't have to pray about what God's give you a word on. I mean, you don't get out and say, Lord, I'm going to ask you to help me. I'm going to ask you, Lord, I'm still going to wonder if it's your will if I pray or not. That's exactly how mine sounds. All right, that's not mine. Amen. I started to sing Johnny Cash, but it would just ruin this whole thing. I'm unbalanced. Help me now. Amen. Let me get that out of my head. We don't have to say, Lord, I'm going to pray about it. Lord, I'm just coming to you today, and I'm going to ask you, Lord, is it your will or not that I go to church Sunday? Don't pray that. Just discipline yourself and say, that's where I'm supposed to be. And that's Sunday night and Wednesday night. You don't have to pray about tithing. You don't have to pray about giving offerings. You don't have to pray about, should I get involved in this thing that's worldly? You don't have to pray about that. You just need to discipline yourself, hey, to do it or not do it, what God said do or not do. It's discipline. You need to pray God give you strength. You need to pray God give you grace to do what He said. But you ain't got to ask God a lot of things that sometimes we ask God for because He already told us what to do. Some things don't take prayer, it takes discipline. It takes priorities. And if we're not careful, we'll get out of balance. Any of y'all had a tire out of balance? Y'all know how to experience? The whole journey is aggravating. Steering wheels. I think when it's out of balance, you kind of do this. When it's out of line, it does this. You Chevrolet folks, y'all understand. Tell me about it. But our life, when it gets out of balance, our whole journey in this life will be something like that spiritually. The struggle of doing what we know we're supposed to do because our life, we've got out of balance over here somewhere. I'm going to lie to you, it's a struggle sometimes to stay balanced. But what we do, as soon as we feel unbalanced or know we're unbalanced, we got to pause and get back to where we're supposed to be in balance. Balance is a wonderful thing. Be careful not to give up staying balanced. Be careful when you know what God said to stay where God said. But again, we don't have to be, you know, there's a line here. We try to stay balanced, and if we lean over here, we're going to liberalism. If we lean over here, we're going to legalism, and we don't want to do either one. There's ditches on both sides of the road, folks. But if we stay in the middle of that thing, amen? Now, while we're trying to stay balanced, there are going to be people over here on the liberal side to criticize us, and there are going to be people here on the legal side to criticize us, but don't pay no mind. Don't look over there. Look straight ahead. I've used this in a sermon I have, and that sermon's been churning in my head for next week, but just like when my boys started driving, until I finally got Tasha to do it, and Roadrunner and Brother Townsend, I ain't equipped for that. That's not my gift. I remember when my dad was trying to teach me how to parallel park. Went down to State Line Church. Parking lot. Nobody's there. He goes in the church, gets two of them old straight back wooden chairs that was Noah brought off the ark. And he walked them off. He said, you know, here was his training. He walked off and said, parallel park it. And I run over one of them chairs. He said, you ain't got enough sense to drive. Just scoot over. And that was the extent of my parallel parking. But I got it perfect on my test. I don't know how I done it. The Lord. But I remember the boys when they were driving. And we'd be going down the road. And every mailbox we come to, the car started going, what? I've grabbed the steering wheel time. And I couldn't figure out what in the world. Going down the road, everything, there comes a mailbox. Then I figured it out. They were so afraid they was going to hit it, they began to look at it. They got so afraid they were going to hit that mailbox, they got to look at the mailbox. And that, hey, Brother Dennis Carter said it like this, where your eyes are is where you're going. And I believe that's right. Huh? Where your eye, what gets your attention is the direction you're going to take. Every time, with anything, with everything. Whatever gets your attention, whatever gets your focus, you're going to lean that way. And you're going to be in a ditch somewhere over here. Or you may be in a ditch somewhere over here before you know it. And you know what? If you're not careful, when you crash in that ditch, it's going to be somebody else's fault, not yours. Yeah. It's like this fella. It was a professional baseball team, and this veteran baseball player, he was playing right field, and he began to blunder a little, and the manager took him out and put a rookie in there. Boy, that guy was hot. Well, the rookie had never played much, and he gets out there, and he missed about everything coming to him, you know, he's going crazy. You know, that veteran's going crazy. And finally, the manager takes him out, puts the veteran back out there. And he starts doing the same thing. When the inning was over, he walked to the manager and said, that rookie's got right field so messed up, they can't nobody play it. If we're not careful, we're going to get out of balance. And wherever our focus is and our eyes is, our life's going to go that way. And we're going to be stuck in a ditch of life, and we're going to be in a mess. And what the devil's going to try to tell you to say is, look, it's the preacher's fault, or it's the husband's fault, it's the wife's fault, well, it's the youngest's fault. Well, hey, quit making excuses and say, look, I'm in a ditch. I'm out of balance. And I need to take some time, I need some prayer and some encouragement to get out of that ditch and get back on the road I'm supposed to be on and be balanced. People will tell you, I ain't going to go there. They'll tell you, amen. The struggle of a balanced life. Then we see the statement of a balanced life. Verse 6 is, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know mine integrity. Here's what we learn from this verse. Right here. Here's what we learn from this verse. I'm hurrying. My integrity is measured by my balance. Get this. That God, you may know mine integrity. So again, integrity depends on your balance.
Right.
You say, well, I ain't exactly where I ought to be, but I got integrity and ain't no way.
Right.
It's just like take me for instance. I'm gonna use myself. I never have come to church. Don't have a burden anymore. Don't use what God give me. Don't do anything like that. And then look at you. Then show up one Sunday and tell y'all, hey, I got a relationship with God. Well, y'all going to believe that? Is God going to believe it? What God and the people see is you out of balance. What y'all would see in me is, no, preacher, you veered off somewhere. And you did, hey, like the prodigal did, he came to himself and he saw himself. Nothing will change in our lives if they're out of balance until we actually come to ourself about it.
Amen.
Come to ourself about our balance. Oh, I'm out of balance. I done veered over here too far, and I'm dragging ditch over here. I'm dragging ditch over here. I've got to come to myself and get with God and get back to where I need to be, get the joy of the Lord back, get my zeal back, get the victory back, and get on fire for God again. Get balanced again.
Amen.
So there is the statement. God is the one doing the weighing, not us. And I say, can I say this? An even balance is doable. If it wasn't, why did Job ask for it? If it wasn't doable with God's help, why was Job requesting it? Get a hold of that. Let me give you a final thought. The struggle of a balanced life, the statement of a balanced life, then the secret of the balanced life. Y'all want to know the secret? I believe the secret to keeping a balanced life is very simple. Keep returning to the feet of Jesus. You're never going to be unbalanced at His feet. Just keep returning. You're veering off, get back to Him. You veering off, getting unbalanced, get back to Him. The balanced life isn't based on one balanced day or one imbalanced day. It's based on every day trying to walk with God. Out of all our obligation, putting Christ first is the greatest. I done quoted Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, every time we give Christ the preeminence, our life is balanced. Nothing. I'm going to say it one more time. Nothing should come between or before God and what He desires and what He requests from us. Nothing. 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 Folks, we're in a time now where, and again, I'm not only place I'm gonna give account for is me and here. So again, I'm not throwing stones at anybody. But it's hard in these days to stand where all, even that crowd, all of us stood at one time. It's hard to stand that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together when they're doing it, when the pastors are leading them to it. Some preacher with much popularity told them, no, we don't need Sunday nights anymore. We don't need them. And then other pastors begin to follow suit. Oh, we don't need Wednesday nights anymore. And then people begin to seek out churches like that. Again, I'm not going to give account for them, but the fact of the matter is, everybody's getting unbalanced and everybody's seeking out others that's unbalanced. You'll find out if you're trying to stay balanced, you got to, hey, Job was trying to be balanced. They were so out of balance, his friends, look at the division. They begin to part. That's what happens. People that used to be trying to be balanced, like you trying to be balanced by the grace of God, and then they become unbalanced, and all of a sudden there's distance between you. Awkwardness. Hey, look at hey, what's going on? We got to get balanced. Folks, I still believe forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together is the matter of some is. But exhorting one another so much the more is, hey, what did they do with that verse? What did they do with that verse? Assembling together. Folks, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I can go out in the woods with my Bible and me and God can have a time. I can sit on a dock somewhere at a lake, me and God can have a time. You hear me? I can get up in a tree stand, and me and God have a time. I can sit on my back porch, just me and God, we can have a time. I can sit by a swimming pool, just me and God, we can have a time. I can ride down the road, me and God, and I can have a time. But that none of that replaces forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. None of that replaces it. We're getting out of balance. Getting out of balance. We got to stay at Jesus' feet. We got to stay at Jesus' feet. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Come on, Courtney. That's my heart tonight, church. God knows it.